For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hello, Raider Nation. Welcome to the Believe in Raiders podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Dennis Ackerman. Pleased to be joined by former Raider great Stanford Rout. Stan, I know you're doing great. I don't think so much for the Raiders right now.
Yeah, definitely not after that performance on Sunday night. But like I said, it's a long season, so hopefully we can go ahead and somehow, some way, right the ship and get back on this winning track.
All right, before we get to that, let's get our promo read in right away, and then we'll get to a little game called Biggest Concern. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games, available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Stan, let's start our game now, and I want to do Raiders are 1-2. As they get ready to head to L.A., I guess their second home away from home, if you want to call it. They'll be taking on the L.A. Chargers this Sunday. So, Stan, let me ask you this. What is a bigger concern to you about the Raiders? Is it Jimmy G's 6 interceptions or the fact that Hunter Renfrow has just 3 receptions in 3 games?
I would probably go with Jimmy G's 6 interceptions, because that's something that obviously we've never really seen much out of him, being somebody who's interception prone or something like that. As far as Hunter Renfrow, obviously 2 catches, only 17 yards, but that to me is more indicative of how Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers are getting the lion's share of all the passing targets per se. So that could just simply be that Hunter Renfrow just simply may be in Josh McDaniels' doghouse. Maybe the slot receiver is not being featured within this offense. I don't know, but I would say the Jimmy G 6 interceptions is more of a story than Hunter Renfrow only having 2 catches and not being a big part of the offense.
Well, Stan, I had a friend, Bill, who texted me. He's like, D.A., why is Hunter Renfrow in the doghouse? I said, I don't know if he's in the doghouse. I just, for whatever reason, I don't know if Jimmy G's not comfortable with him, if Jimmy G's first, and sometimes it seems like only read is to Devontae Adams. Stan, is it just a thing that Hunter's not connecting with Jimmy G and he's not connecting in this Josh McDaniels offense, a combination of both, one or the other?
I just think it's probably just him just simply not maybe being the focal read, maybe the main read. I mean, we still go ahead and look. Obviously, Jimmy G threw 3 interceptions. There's no doubt about that. He can't do that. But 324 passing yards. So obviously still being able to get some plays down the field. Obviously we see Devontae Adams, 13 catches, 172 yards. So it's not like the Raiders are out there having 150 passing yards total as a team. It's just simply not going to Hunter Renfrow. It's going to Devontae Adams and a Jacoby Myers, and even a little bit to a Josh Jacobs to a certain degree. So I attribute that more to a myriad of factors that leads into that. And that's why I would, like I said, go with Jimmy G having 6 interceptions, because I think Hunter Renfrow not being a focal point is more about how surprising it is based on a couple of years ago, how much he was a part of the pass game versus what he is the production that he's having right now. That's how I look at it.
All right, so we're recording this podcast on a Wednesday night. Right now, Jimmy G is in concussion protocol. Don't know if we're going to see him on Sunday. So, Stan, that would either leave veteran quarterback Brian Hoyer or rookie quarterback Aiden O'Connell. Now, if you were the Raiders head coach and it came down to your decision, who would you start on Sunday if Jimmy G is unavailable? Now, it's technically a road game at the Chargers, but we know it'll be a huge Raider contingency there on Sunday.
I would go with the young guy. I mean, obviously, we know Brian Hoyer is in this league. Obviously, he's a backup, been a journeyman for a number of years, a very capable journeyman, a very capable backup, no doubt about that, so no disrespect to him. But just go with the young guy. And I say that because the Raiders right now are 1-2. Nobody was expecting them to make a serious playoff push. They might be able to sneak in this year. Who knows? Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, he's been down. He's been going through his calf injury. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is out for the rest of the season. So there may be some spots at 6-7 that somebody can go ahead and kind of just sneak in the back door on, maybe in late December, early January. But we didn't look at the Raiders coming into this season as being a contender for the AFC supremacy. So you might as well go ahead and see what you have within the young guy. The contract that they signed Jimmy G to obviously wasn't something that was long term. So they're not thinking of Jimmy G as being the long term answer, because we all know that he has his injury concerns as he's in the concussion protocol right now as we speak. So I think that a situation like this, you want to see what you have in the young guy, as cliche as that is to say.
All right. Just FYI for the record, the most interceptions Jimmy G has thrown in a season is 13. All right, Stan, I want to compare now or talk about another big concern. That would be the Raiders' offensive line. Has it regressed, or that Josh Jacobs barely has over 100 yards rushing through the first three games?
I feel like it's a little bit of both. I feel like the offensive line has regressed. And also, I think that Josh Jacobs is still trying to get his feet up under him. And obviously, we see that he's coming into this situation. Obviously, his head is probably dealing with other things of wanting the long-term contract that he did not get, knowing that he's playing on this one-year deal, wanting to make sure that he stays healthy, wanting to make sure that he's still able to produce. The offensive line taking a step back. Obviously, it seems like the Raiders are a little bit more pass-happy right now. Jimmy G had 44 passing attempts. That's something that's not his usual norm, dating back to his days with New England or with San Francisco. I think that it's a myriad of things, but I would say, yes, the offensive line has definitely regressed.
Stan, I agree with you, because I think the offensive line is playing into everything, not only Jacobs' lack of production, but I thought on Sunday night in particular, Jimmy G just never looked comfortable in that pocket. One, the Steelers were getting a great pass rush, and then when he did have time, it seemed like he had happy feet, couldn't find somebody open, and a couple of those interceptions were like, Jimmy G, where are you throwing that ball? I mean, what are you seeing? And not only that game, but I think through the first, I would say Buffalo as well, I just don't think he's looked very comfortable in the pocket. And for whatever reason, this Raiders offensive line, they only made one change, Stan. They pretty much brought everybody back. Van Roten now is the starting right guard. So, you know, let's see moving forward if this offensive line can make some strides, get the running game going, get some better pass protection, whether for Jimmy G or whoever might be starting at quarterback on Sunday. All right, Stan, let's go over the other side of the football now, and let's talk about the defense. Bigger concern, they have just 5 sacks through the first three games, or this defense has not created a turnover yet?
I would probably go with not creating a turnover, because 5 sacks in 3 games is still averaging 1 a game. Obviously, you're not the 85 Bears, for crying out loud,
no,
but you're still able to get after the quarterback to a certain degree. But not having any turnovers in 3 games, that's 12 quarters, that is 180 minutes of football. Not having any turnovers in that amount of time, that to me is more eye-raising. That to me is more alarming. That to me is more catastrophic than the Raiders only having 5 sacks.
Well, last year they had 27 sacks and 13 turnovers. But Stan, let me ask you this. If they can get more pressure on the quarterback, and we saw it, you know, Sunday, that I thought that at times they put pressure on Kenny Pickett. Marcus Peters dropped the pick 6. I mean, that was an easy walk-in touchdown if he could have caught that interception. But if the Raiders can generate a better pass rush, would that more than likely lead to more turnovers? Do they go hand in hand?
Absolutely, they go hand in hand. That can lead to more interceptions. That can lead to more tip passes that wind up being intercepted by the D-line. That can lead to more strip sack fumbles. That can lead to a myriad of options in which to be able to take the ball away. So obviously it goes hand in hand. But like I said, to your point or to your question, if I got to choose one, I'm going with the lack of interceptions, the lack of turnovers, or should I say takeaways this year, of having 0 versus only having 5 sacks.
Stan, what's the easier one to turn around, putting more pressure and getting the sacks on a quarterback, or creating more turnovers?
Oh, I would probably say the easier one is getting pressure on the quarterback, because you can do that by blitzes. You can do that with running simulators or some sort of a zone blitz, trying to confuse the quarterback, things like that. There's a lot of exotic ways that you can create pressure. But to simply just go and tell your defense, hey, go out there and take the ball away, that's a little bit of like a vague statement. Okay, so what? I'm supposed to just run up to the running back and take the ball away from him like it's a loaf of bread? So it's not that simple, but being able to pressure the quarterback with a certain pass rush, with certain blitzes, with certain packages and things like that, I'm not saying that's easy as well, but I would say that's easier than to simply tell somebody, go out there and take the ball away.
Well, nothing has come easy for the Raiders' first two picks in the 2023 draft. So, Stan, what is a bigger concern? You got first-round pick Tyree Wilson, who's played in three games. He has a total of three tackles and no sacks. And the second-round pick, the tight end out of Notre Dame, Michael Mayer, has one reception for 2 yards and one successful two-point conversion, which happened on Sunday against the Steelers. So, Stan, what is the biggest concern of those two?
Obviously, with Tyree Wilson being a first-round pick and him not having any sacks thus far early on in the season because he was a first-rounder, because of the expectations that are placed on guys that are drafted as high as he was, that's going to be what's a bigger story. That's what people are going to be more salacious with what they're attacking, or should I say what they're reporting on. But when you look at both of them and you compare them, Tyree Wilson to a Max Crosby, you compare the tight end to who? Darren Waller, who just got traded several months back, that's an unfair comparison because you're comparing both of those guys to two Pro Bowlers, to Pro Bowl level players, all pro, if I might dare to say. Darren Waller has that level of ability. So I think that that's a step too far to automatically now casting aspersions. Like I said, we're only three games in, and you can look at a number of players who have been Hall of Famers, who have been perennial Pro Bowlers, that their rookie season started off relatively slow. It takes time. So to me, which is a bigger story? I think that Tyree Wilson is going to be a bigger story just because he's a first rounder. And you know, people in the media, fans, they love to dump on the first rounder. The second, third, fourth rounder, they can have a slow start. And people will give them a pass. Well, of course, he's really not that good. That's why he was taken in the third round. Things like that. They'll make excuses for him. But first rounders, they expect you to hit the ground running the very first Sunday, opening day. And because of that, that's why Tyree Wilson is going to be the bigger story.
Stan, I know you didn't play tight end and you didn't play defensive end in the NFL, but you did play 8 years. What do you think is the tougher transition to go from college to the pros as a edge pass rusher or a tight end?
Oh, I think both of them had their own certain level of difficulty. I would say I would probably go with tight end will probably be more difficult as far as the transition, because I think as a tight end in college, there's very few people that can cover you if you're a good tight end in college. Very few people. But when you get to the NFL, you have packages like the big nickel, where you may have a safety or a linebacker who simply is not pretty fleet of foot, not fleet of foot enough to cover a Justin Jefferson or a Tariq Hill, but fleet of foot and mobile enough to be able to cover, or should I say match up with a bigger tight end, with a Travis Kelce, with a Darren Waller, with a George Kittle, and being able to diagnose what type of defense you're getting, to be able to extrapolate what you're seeing pre-snap and then apply that to what's happening after the ball is snapped, whether you're going to sit it down, whether you're going to go ahead and try to take it down the field vertical and be able in nanoseconds to be able to go ahead and recognize that and then adapt and then on the move, be able to ad lib, things like that. I would say that's probably tougher than edge rusher, because when you come into the league, obviously you're going against all pro left tackles like Trent Williams. You're going against the big boys, but there's not much that from an X's and O's standpoint that's different. You just simply got to beat the man in front of you. So you got to have good technique, speed to power, things like that. But the mental is probably what separates the level of difficulty from tight end to edge rusher going to the NFL.
All right, Stan, bigger concern, Josh McDaniel's play calling on offense or Patrick Graham's play calling on defense?
I mean, can it be a wash? Can it be a tie? Oh, I would probably go ahead and say to me, man. Oh, man.
You want me to start?
Yeah. You know what? You go ahead and start.
I would say Josh McDaniels, Dan, because I look at that offense. When the Raiders hired him, he was supposed to be this offensive genius coming over from New England, and he was going to solve all the Raiders' red zone issues and all this stuff with Derek Carr. You look at all the talent they have between Jacoby Myers, Davante Adams, beg your pardon, Josh Jacobs, and Jimmy G. You know, I still think he's between 15 and 20, somewhere in that range of top quarterbacks. Stan, they're averaging 15 points a game. 15. And I look over on the other side of the ball, and I'm like, okay, Patrick Graham, I still don't know what you really have to work with outside of Max Crosby in terms of playmakers, difference makers. And I just think it falls on the shoulders of Josh McDaniels, not only his offensive play calling, but his overall decision-making, which we can get into after you tell me which one you think is a bigger concern.
Oh, I mean, for one, I want to go ahead and say that I think both are a big concern. But if you're asking me which would I vote is a bigger concern, I would go ahead and agree with you about Josh McDaniels. Because you have a Davante Adams, because you have a Josh Jacobs, two guys that led the NFL in their respective positions last year, and to have an offense that's only averaging 15 points with somebody that is not someone new to you that is taking snaps from center and Jimmy G. You've been around him before your days back in New England. So it should be more of a seamless, type of connection or understanding of what your quarterback has, his skill set, what you're asking of him, and to be only producing 15 points a game, yeah, that's something that is definitely disheartening, to go ahead and say the least, as far as this offense is concerned.
Yeah, and also his overall, I think, decision-making right now, Stan, which I really questioned, and I even texted you Sunday night, the Raiders, late in the ball game, they're down one score, it's 23-15, fourth down, they're inside the Steelers' 10-yard line, and Josh McDaniels decides to kick a field goal to make it a 5-point game. Uh-huh. I don't know, Stan, I don't know anyone who agreed with the decision to kick a field goal. Because look, 8 points, that's a one-score game. It's a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. And Stan, even if you don't get it, then you pin the Steelers back, you know, in the shadow of their own end zone. And I'll take my chances then. But if you're supposed to have all these weapons we were just talking about on offense, Adams, Jacobs, man, roll the dice on fourth down and see what you come up with, because I'd rather depend on those guys than the Raiders defense getting a stop, which they eventually did, but the Steelers did convert one first down by the time the Raiders got the ball back. What was there? 12 seconds left and 75 yards staring them right in the face of another loss.
Absolutely. I think that that's definitely something that I would definitely agree with you on. I think that kicking that field goal right there at that moment, I didn't really understand it either. But like I said, he's the head coach. We're not. And it's definitely something that going forward, yeah, I hope that they make a different choice in that situation just to go and try to improve your chances of being able to win the game. I feel like that didn't bode well for the team.
All right. Speaking of the Raiders defense, they're going to have their hands full on Sunday, Stan, going up against Justin Herbert and the LA Chargers offense.
Yep.
Stan, where do you rank Justin right now in terms of quarterback top five? Where would he be in your ranking?
Obviously, Pat Mahomes,
yep.
Joe Burrow. A lot of people put Josh Allen as number three. I could argue that Josh Allen isn't number three. Right now, Tua is definitely playing like he is a top five quarterback. Like, an emphasis on the word like, he's a top five quarterback. We got to see if he still stays healthy. I think Justin Herbert, to me, I would put him above Lamar Jackson. I'd put him in front of a Jalen Hurts. I would probably put Justin Herbert somewhere in that 4 to 6 range, depending on your opinion. Some people can rank him as high as 4, some maybe as low as 6, but I don't think that you can list 6 quarterbacks in the NFL without listing Justin Herbert.
Stan, let me ask you this. I was watching, just flipping it around, watching different games. And after Patrick Mahomes, I'm like trying to think to myself, which quarterback these days is must-see TV? Like, it's appointment viewing. Like, I don't want to miss this game because this guy is playing quarterback. How many can you really name right now that, Stan, you want to race home,
that
you want to
see this TV. Game?
Yeah, must-see TV, because I think it's a short list. Short.
For me, I've been around football my entire life, so me missing a game is not something that's the end of the world for me, like it maybe once upon a time. But to your point, to your question, and I understand the context that you're putting it in, you got to add Lamar Jackson into must-see TV. Jalen Hurts, got to add him in there. Joe Burrow, I love watching him play. Pat Mahomes, clearly. I would say that you got those four. Justin Herbert, big strong arm. He's definitely in there as well. I'm trying to think if there's anybody that just is escaping my mind right now. Deshaun Watson, I like watching him play. Must-see TV, I'm not really sure about that yet because he's not the same quarterback he was when he was with the Texans, although maybe he's going to get a little bit better, or should I say get back to that form? I don't know. And then I'll probably go ahead and stop there. That's probably the ones that I would say are must-see TV. And I think that fans need to also understand there's a difference between somebody being must-see TV and then being exactly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. Like, I think that Justin Herbert is must-see TV as well. But if you're asking me to rank them, I would say Lamar Jackson because he's more electric in the things that he can do on the football field. I would put him above Justin Herbert as far as more must-see TV. But I think Justin Herbert's a better quarterback than him.
All right, final question. Need a prediction from you, my man. Raiders, Chargers, Sunday in L.A., SoFi Stadium.
I would probably go with 27-21 Chargers. That's what I'm thinking with my head, with my heart. Hopefully that somehow, some way the Raiders can get out there with a victory. But if you're asking me right here, right now, I'd say 27-21 Chargers.
Dan, I don't even know if it'll be that close. Let me ask you this. I'm picking the Chargers. I think it's 27-17, somewhere along those lines. Through the first three games of the season, how much progress have you seen the Raiders compared to last year, if any?
I haven't seen any. Obviously, they won the game in week one against the Denver Broncos, but that's the Denver Broncos. So I wouldn't say I've seen much progress at all out of this team in the first three games of the year.
Yeah, I can't say I've seen any either, and that's why I'm going to go with the Chargers. I'll say 27-17. Let's hope we're wrong. Let's hope Jimmy G is quarterback in this team on Sunday. Let's hope Jimmy G looks more comfortable in the pocket. Let's hope Jimmy G spreads the wealth. Let's hope the Raiders defense can create some sacks and create some turnovers.
Yes.
And we'll see what happens on Sunday. They're 5.5-point underdogs right now, but that's what Jimmy G playing at that line will probably spike. They announce he can't play, but as of right now, as I said earlier, we are recording this podcast on a Wednesday night. Right now, he is in concussion protocol, so we'll have to wait and see. All right, Raider Nation, that's going to do it for this edition of the Believe in Raiders podcast presented by BetOnline.ag. For my partner, Stanford Rapp, I'm Dennis Ackerman. Thanks so much for listening. And may all your punts find the coffin corner.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.